As you can see, I am of a compact stature. But I do have the inner fortitude of Xena Warrior Princess, in a friendly way, I might add. So as you've just heard, I come from a theater background, and this is a profession in which evolution is essential to our success. And I'm here this afternoon to share with you some of the practices and approaches that I have transferred from the theater world and my consulting world to help you succeed in the digital world. Now, given that you are creators and you're very much in the creative producer world, and I dare say there may be even a few actors in the room. Are there any actors in the room? A few, great, thank you. And for the rest of you, I'm sure you've heard the term between jobs. Yes? Yeah? This is a wonderful euphemism created by actors when we're in between theater contracts. Anything else is for pure survival. Now, early on in my career, I had some very interesting between job scenarios. I was a telemarketer. This is perfect for an actor because we can deliver those scripts with such sincerity and authenticity. I was in retail sales, an office temp, a courier, a supply teacher, and here's one you may find of some interest for someone like me in the arts. I was a bank teller. Never balanced at the end of the day, but I would have the longest lineup at my wicket. And not because I was slow, but people would say, hey, you gotta go to Lorraine, she'll entertain you. So I found out that my own job satisfaction and my success was attributed to creating a wonderful and memorable experience for my client or my audience. And of course, we have another saying in the theater, that you are only as good as your next gig. So we're always trying to find a way to elevate our own performance and to increase the experience of our clients and our audiences. And of course, that means change. That means evolution. And as creators and producers and artists of all kinds, you are in search of the same evolution. And if you are taking a team with you, you want to take a very talented and reliable team. And I'm going to start by sharing with you four ways to evolve and excel for you and anyone that you may take on your team. Or if you're looking for people on your team, you certainly want them to have these kinds of qualities. To act with agility. And what does this mean in change? This means to adapt quickly, and with a sense of urgency. However, you don't want to move so fast that you're going to stumble along, or so slowly that you are going to impede the progress. You still have to be efficient, and you have to be effective as you are being agile. Now, I have determined that there are two types of personalities that actually impede the ability to be agile. You've got on one side the perfectionist, and on the other, the procrastinator. So I think this is best served with some visual support. So you will see here, this gentleman is cutting his lawn with a pair of scissors. Now I have bad news for this guy, that as he is cutting the grass in front of him, it is growing behind him. This is the world in which we live. We never catch up, ever. So this is a very, very challenging cause for the perfectionist. By the way, I want to just say that perfectionism is not to be confused with pursuit of excellence. Because pursuing excellence, people have a different mindset. They tend to be very spontaneous, they tend to be confident, they tend to be forward thinkers, they're very positive. People who come from a place of perfectionism, they usually are very self-doubting, they're a little fearful, they're rigid. So it's not a good approach in times of change. On the other side, we have the procrastinator. Now, you do not see the gardener in this picture, but you see the result of the gardener's work. This beautiful landscape is now populated by many ugly weeds. The procrastinator is someone, when you give them a new assignment or something, they go, whoa, you just sprung this on me. I need time to digest this. This is a bit overwhelming. I'll catch up with the rest of you in time. This, of course, is really going to stall the whole process. So what we're looking for is that delicate balance, to seize opportunities, whether basic or bold. Now, I dare say most of you in the room, if not all of you, and I'd put myself in that situation, that I want to have the biggest opportunity out there to catapult my success, to give me great acclaim. We want to go from zero to 60. But sometimes it takes a series of smaller opportunities, of basic opportunities, to get us there. And we have to believe it will eventually get us there. This next one is about overriding the naysayers. Now, for us, we are creative, innovative people. So sometimes there are folks who think of our ideas as crazy or extreme or wild and judge our ability to be successful with those ideas. I've also found that those are people who are usually afraid to follow their own dreams and ideas and goals. So you have to beware of these folks, and you want to align yourself, not in a Pollyanna way, but people who are truly going to believe in your vision and help support you through it. This takes as much guts as walking through the doors of opportunity. And sometimes we are our biggest judge. We stop our own progress. Now, I started out the afternoon by saying, I have the inner fortitude of Xena Warrior Princess. I have to believe that. I have to believe that. If I didn't believe it, for years and years and years, I probably wouldn't have got up on stages everywhere and entertained and spoke to thousands of people. I've also discovered that we all have this inner alter ego that is unleashed when given permission to do so. And the interesting thing is I found where people give themselves permission to allow that warrior, whatever alter ego, to emerge because they don't know anybody and there's no pre-existing judgment is when they are on vacation. You ever notice that? We go with the mentality of, I will never see those people again. So this is anchored by tenacity and optimism. Patience, perseverance, and belief that you will achieve your goal in the end. If you see in the best exotic Marigold Hotel, Dev Patel's character says that it will all be okay in the end. If it is not okay, it is not the end. I can tell you as an actor, when I went to auditions, I heard the word no many, 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 many more times than I ever heard the word yes. But I had a belief that it was going to happen for me, that I would achieve it. Patience, perseverance. And even though we have to act with a sense of urgency, the rewards don't always come immediately. As my hairstylist would say, it's just a comb, Lorraine, not a magic wand. So, you know, we have to go with that. And we can practice tenacity in our personal life, in little ways. Like, when I moved to Toronto, I lived in a semi-detached house. And the neighbor I was attached to say that he was unfriendly would be rather generous of me. We would walk out quite often. He never said hello. He just looked the other way. So, oh, this is crazy. As you can tell now, I'm kind of a gregarious kind of gal. So the next opportunity happened. We both walked out of the doors the same time. And I turned to him and I said, good morning. Well, he turned and he scowled at me and walked away. Whoa, that's not what I expected. I won't tell you what my inside voice was saying, but it's all right. So I didn't give up. The next time, opportunity arise, probably more annoyingly so this time, I said, good morning. He scowls and he walks away. I say, hey, come on. We're neighbors. We're attached. We got to make decisions together. So I continue and I take every chance I can to connect with this guy. And then finally, one day when I gave it the best possible good morning that I could, he wheeled around with incredible velocity, glared at me, and said, morning. That is progress. So here's the situation. I'm outgoing. He's not. He's an introvert. It took a long time. After that, we were great neighbors for 7 years. It took that kind of tenacity and patience and optimism that we will achieve what we want in the end. So now, I've given you 4 ideas on how to help your individual acceleration through change. I want to go now to a theater term and film term called ensemble performance. You're probably aware that we give awards, not me personally, but awards are given for ensemble performance. What this means is no matter who you are, what your title is, how big your role is, everybody brings their A game to the production. They perform at their highest level. And I like to include the production team as well, because you don't have to be the person in the spotlight. You can be the person shining the spotlight on the individual. Every single person is recognized for their highest level of performance. This is all founded on one key word, and that is trust. We did trust exercises every single day when I trained as an actor. And I taught my acting students the same. Because trust is the glue that keeps a team together. You do not have to love somebody to trust somebody. You trust your team because we're all here for the very reason that we want to create an exceptional client experience. Probably one of the best things to help us with our stress levels is a healthy sense of humor. This says that people with a good sense of humor are promoted faster and go further than humorless people. This is my bilingual slide, by the way. The quote is by an American. The title is by me, so I fixed the spelling. So humor is not about whoopee cushions, hand buzzers, or clown nose, or being a practical joker, or a stand-up comedian. A healthy sense of humor is about a lightness of being. It's about perspective, how you choose to see things. People with a healthy sense of humor are more flexible. They go through change more successfully. They laugh at themselves. They find solutions, not problems. They're more collegial. But there are some people who don't get it. And they are an absolute liability to any company because they suffer from HDD, humor deficit disorder. You know those people, they wouldn't know humor if they fell over it. I learned about the power of humor at a very young age, probably around grade 5. I would get report cards that said, Lorraine is a good student, but tends to be talkative. Anybody else get that? Yeah? Okay, yeah. Then it would say, Lorraine demonstrates a great sense of humor, but at inappropriate times. So because I was inappropriate, I was sent out into the hall as punishment. As punishment. I loved it out there. Mr. Dennis, the custodian, and I, we were just like that. Mr. Dennis would give me a candy, and then he'd tell me a joke. And then I'd go back into the classroom, and I would tell the joke. And then I'd get kicked out of the classroom. I'd go back into the hall. My pockets were bulging. They were full, you know? So later on in Second City and such, I'd see people who want to laugh, and, you know, they sort of look to the friend to see if they're laughing, and then, you know, should I laugh? And now, you know, people, when you want to laugh, you want a good belly laugh. You know, people, it actually helps your abs if you laugh a lot. It's like, you know, it's like doing a, you know, go ahead and feel your laughing muscle, preferably your own, but go ahead and feel it, yeah? Right, this is when you know. So then people would say to me, Lorraine, I want to laugh, but I don't want to get laugh lines. I go, oh, get over yourself. You know, make your face look like it's lived in. Besides, I am here to tell you that laughter actually is like aerobics for the face. You will, in fact, look younger. I am 150 years old. With that thought, ladies and gentlemen, I think I've gone over my time, but thank you very much for your attention, and I wish you all a very successful evolution. Thank you.